Meeting to order. This evening is Wednesday, March 1st, and we will start with a Pledge of Allegiance, and I'm going to ask Director Tran to lead us this evening in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please rise and face the flag and repeat after me. Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the Republic.
Madam Clerk, will you call the roll, please?
Roll call, Director Mezquit. Present. Director Bilodeau.
Present.
Director Green. Director Meeks.
Present.
Director Nguyen. Director Rowe.
Here.
Director Sheldon. Director Tran.
Here.
Director Whitaker. Director Yeo.
Here.
You do have a quorum with six directors present.
Great. Mr. Kennedy, are there any items received too late to be agendized?
Nothing, Mr. Chair.
Great. Now's the time for visitor participation. If any member of the public would like to address the board on items that are within our jurisdiction, now would be the time to do that. Let's see if we see any hands online. And I see no speaker cards in the room.
You have no hands raised.
Fantastic. Okay, then we'll move on. Tonight's consent calendar consists of items 1 through 3, and they'll be approved by one motion unless a separate motion is made to discuss one. What would be the pleasure of the board on these items?
Consent calendar.
Great. We have a motion and a second. Madam Clerk, will you call the roll, please?
Roll call, Director Mezquit.
Yes.
Director Bilodeau.
Yes.
Director Meeks.
Yes.
Director Rowe.
Yes.
Director Tran?
Aye.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
That motion carries with 6 yes votes, with Directors Green, Nguyen, Sheldon, and Whitaker absent.
I would, yes.
That's with 7 yes votes.
Thank you. Great. That brings us to item number 4, which is the proposed fiscal year 2023-24 budget.
Yes, our CFO, Mr. Randy Fick, will give a presentation to the board.
Good evening, Vice President Bilodeau and members of the board. This evening, we have a review of the draft fiscal 23-24 budget. So here's the budget calendar. You've seen a couple times already this year and December. We've had 2 meetings so far. In December at Admin Finance, we had a budget prep kickoff meeting. And then you recall that in January, Admin Finance, we provided preliminary BPP and RA numbers. And this evening, at tonight's board meeting, we're reviewing the draft fiscal 23-24 budget. And then we'll have numerous meetings going forward, quite a few between now and the April meeting, where we have the final budget approval and the proposal to set the RA and the BPP. So at WIC in March, we'll review the water budget. After WIC, at the producers meeting, we'll go over this presentation with the producers. And at Admin Finance in March, we'll review the R&R budget. And then in April at WIC, we'll review in detail the CIP budget. And then at the April Admin Finance meeting, we'll review in detail the general fund budget. Followed by at the April 19th board meeting, we'll have the public hearing to set the RA and BPP for fiscal 23-24. Along with consideration to approve the 23-24 budget. So here's a pie chart. This shows the total expenditures planned for next year, 23-24, just under $270 million. We have basically 7 major expenditure categories. This includes both operating expenditures and capital expenditures. And these expenditures are funded with RA revenues, debt, and reserves. And we'll go into subsequent slides, we'll go over each of these items. So the general fund includes the district's, all the district's salaries, wages, benefits, supplies, and services for the district. And these expenditures, operating expenditures, are broken down into 21 different departments or cost centers for greater clarity and tracking ability. So the departments prepared and submitted their general fund budgets to the general manager. He sat down and reviewed each line item on the 21 departments with each department manager. Originally, it was submitted at $102.8 million. After that meeting, there were various reductions, bringing us to $101.3 million general fund budget, a reduction of $1.5 million. And the general fund budget includes $3.5 million of PFAS O&M. We have committed to paying 50% of the producer's O&M for operating the PFAS treatment facilities. And this budget also proposes no increase to the current headcount. So it'll remain at 226.5. The bar chart shows that the general fund's going up, approximately $16 million, about a 19% increase. So pretty substantial. And the majority of that increase, about 87% of that increase, is due to chemicals and utilities. And why is that? We're going to be producing about 22% more out of the groundwater replenishment system final expansion. So the current year budget contemplates producing 110,000 acre feet of groundwater replenishment system final expansion product water. And next year in the budget, we'll have a complete year of operating the final expansion. So we'll be producing 134,000 acre feet from the groundwater replenishment system to either inject into the barrier or recharge. So that's a 22% increase. So that requires more chemicals and utilities to treat that water. Additionally, we've had price increases. You may recall that back in December, we brought at Admin Finance, we had prices increases on our variable water treatment chemicals. Additionally, there's been price increases on our electricity. So in calendar year 2021, we were paying about 12.3 cents per kilowatt hour. And then last calendar year, we were paying almost 15 cents a kilowatt hour. So well over 20% increase just in the rate. Water budget. So this budget includes 3,000 acre feet purchased from the city of Long Beach to inject into the Alamitos barrier. And there's no met water contemplated in next year's budget purchase for recharge. And you may notice that this bar chart that I'm showing you here on the right is a little different. That's what's in your packet. So we had a slight modification to the 22-23 year. It didn't include the 5,000 acre feet of met purchases in this year's budget. So the total cost of the water budget is $6.2 million contemplated for 23-24 budget. Capital improvement projects. So its total is a little over $101 million. And the majority of that, 98% of it, is for PFAS treatment facilities projects, $99 million. So that's the majority of it. And that's financed about half of it through RA revenues. And then we also have a WIFIA loan for $135 million that'll be for the entirety of these PFAS treatment facilities projects. So that's how we're funding that $99 million. And then the smaller projects there are largely funded through PAYGO or operating revenue, RA revenue. And the third from the bottom there, the Prado shooting range remediation, we are collecting funds on a monthly basis from our lessee to help pay for that project. And here's a bar chart showing the two major projects we've been going through for the last few years. There in, I think that's red or orange. That's the groundwater replenishment system final expansion project. That's about a $290 million project. And you can see how we've spent money over the last few years. It's been rather considerable. We financed that with a WIFIA loan and with an SRF loan. and then a small amount in grants. We have a little bit remaining there in 22-23 to spend. I think we have about $15 million left that we're going to spend between now and the end of the fiscal year. And then in blue there, we see the treatment, PFAS treatment facilities projects. Right now, that's going to be about, we're projecting about $285 million in total. To date, we've spent $124 million of that $280 million plus for these projects for the PFAS treatment. And then next year is rather large. We're projecting to spend about $99 million next year. And then the following year, another $26 million. Right now, this is about 58 wells that need treatment, and they're all in various stages of these projects for different producers. And there's some large expenditures. So I just wanted to show that to you, how that's going to play out. Then other budget assumptions, the R&R replacement program, refurbishment and replacement of existing assets for the district. Through the RA for 23-24, we'll be collecting $25.2 million, and then expenditures out of that will be $15.5 million for 41 different line items in your budget package. Then another major component of the budget is debt service, $44.4 million. And it includes principal reduction, $25 million, $18 million of interest payments to our bondholders, and then $1 million in debt administration, largely liquidity facilities that we need for our variable rate debt. Retiree medical or OPEB, other post-employment benefits. So the actuarially determined contribution for 23-24 is $600,000. And then finally, new equipment. We have about 8 items that total about $300,000. These are small capital purchases, over $5,000, largely computer equipment, lab equipment, and some small operating equipment for the operations group. So this summarizes kind of what I just talked about. It's the calculation of the 23-24 RA. And it also shows you how the RA has changed from 22-23 to 23-24. So we'll go over this column right here, and it explains how the RA is calculated for 23-24. I've just went over the 7 major expenses contemplated in the proposed 23-24 budget. So we add up the items we just talked about, the general fund, water purchases, debt service, PAYGO for funding a portion of the capital projects, retiree medical, the small equipment, and the R&R fund. So the 23-24 totals up, those expenditures total $225.7 million less non-RA expenses, which is largely property taxes, BA revenue, interest revenue on our investments or reserves, grants. And so that totals $51.5 million. So the difference is our net expenses of $174.2 million, the difference. You divide that by the expected pumping of roughly 280,000 acre feet planned for next year. And then that gives us our projected RA of $624 an acre foot. So when we compare that to the current year budget, the RA is currently $558 an acre foot, projected to go up to $624, a $66 an acre foot increase, or about a 12% increase overall. So the total expenditures on the far column there, change in RA revenue, far column to your right. So the total increases, the general fund, as I mentioned, went up about $16 million. So that affects the RA. It increases at $58. So each $1 million of expenses increases the RA roughly $3.60. Water purchases, We have a reduction of about $6 million, largely due to the fact that we are not purchasing Met water in next year's budget. Given the reduced pumping for PFAS and the nice winter we're having, we don't think we need that in our budget to recharge the basin. The budget alone is going to reduce the accumulated overdraft by about 40,000 acre feet for 23-24 without purchasing any Met water. Then another big item that's increasing the RA is the fourth line I'm down is the PAYGO program for the capital projects. As I mentioned, for the PFAS treatment facilities projects, we're paying a large share of that with RA revenue as opposed to issuing all debt to build these projects. So that's increasing about $7 million from $40 million to $47 million, which increases the RA about $26. The retiree medical benefit, that is dropping. That's going to go down from about $1.6 million to $600,000. So that helps reduce the RA by about $4. We changed the program for the retiree medical from the complete insurance program that didn't really recognize the savings from or the costs from Medicare. We switched to a kind of a wraparound plan for Medicare, which saves the retiree money and it saves the district money. And then R&R fund transfer, that increases 7% a year. And then, so that'll increase about $1.5 million. And that increases the RA about six. So all these different increases to our expenses amounts to a $72 increase in the RA. Good thing is we have some non-RA revenues that increased. Property tax increase, our investment revenues increasing, higher returns. We also have grants and BEA revenues increasing. We're trying to incentivize those that can pump to pump more. So more BEA revenue. So about a $10 million increase in non-BEA revenue, that helps keep the RA down by about $36 an acre foot. So the net expenses are increasing about $10 million overall from 164 to 174 million. And that's an increase of about $36 on the RA. Unfortunately, the pumping from budget to budget, the expected pumping is going from 295,000 in this year's budget down to about 280,000 acre feet next year. So we're spreading these costs over less pumping, which increases the RA per acre foot pumped. So that's an impact of about $30 increase on the RA per acre foot. So that explains how we get the $66 increase on those different line items. Kind of a complicated spreadsheet there on the slide, but I think it helps explain why the increase. So the proposed rates for 23-24, the basin production percentage increases from 77% to 85%. And the replenishment assessment increases from $558 an acre foot to $624 an acre foot. And here's the five-year projection right now. We're currently at $558 an acre foot with a BPP of 77%. And in the 23-24 budget we just discussed, increasing the BPP from 77 to 85%, and the RA increasing from the current 558 to $624 an acre foot. And then the following years, increases ranging from 5 to 6% is expected or projected at this point. This projection complies with all board financial policies, maintaining ratings, includes PFAS program funding, capital and O&M for the producers, met rate and inflationary increases. And this budget is based on average hydrology, this five-year forecast. It also includes the GRS final expansion coming fully online in 23-24. Going forward, receive initial board comments and then you continue with the scheduled budget meetings as presented in the calendar you saw earlier. And that concludes my presentation.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fick. So that's the first look at the budget. And there'll be a series of meetings where we go over this and make changes as appropriate. Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Fick at this time on the presentation? I do have one, Randy, on if you can go back to the chart that has all the facts and figures. That one. So on the pumping, it shows that we're only going to pump 280,000 acre feet as opposed to 295 last year.
The budget was 295.
Okay, so how much are we projected to pump this year?
I would say we're going to be short somewhere between 255,000 and 265,000 acre feet. So our revenue is going to be short this year.
And that's as a result of PFAS impacts, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, that's the one puzzling thing to me, because I was hoping we were going to ramp up the pumping and
actual, yes,
buy our way budget, out of this problem.
No.
Okay. Any other questions from the board at this time?
Director Yeo has his hand raised.
There we go. Director Yeo.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Bilodeau. Randy, thank you for the presentation. You mentioned that this is all predicated on an average hydrology scenario. And, you know, it's obvious that we're going to have a wet year. Now, with that information, does it change any of the numbers other than perhaps water purchases?
Roger, you might have to repeat that and speak a little louder. It's a little tough to hear. If you could repeat that, please.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think my something wrong with my microphone here. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's much better.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, Randy, thank you for the presentation. You mentioned that the numbers are predicated on an average hydrology scenario. And with a wet year like what we're experiencing, would that information change any of the numbers here that we're seeing on this page?
I don't believe it would change it. We're basing it on averages. I don't think the 1 year would change the way we're budgeting at this point.
Because even with a wet year, we still want to put money in the water purchase funds, right?
Not, it's not proposed in 23-24. We're not proposing to spend any money on MET purchases or put funds in the water fund at this point next year. We'll be ramping in with the five-year forecast. Additional MET purchases as pumping increases.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Yeah, just to add to that, Director Yeo, because we are expecting a relatively good year, because the groundwater basin overdraft is about where we like it to be, so we are not recommending the budget to buy any MET water next year. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, we have several requests to speak now. I'm going to start with Director Tran.
I have a question regarding capital spending. I think you posted a graph here with the PFAS expenditures. That goes all the way back since 2017 and then moving forward to this fiscal year, which is 2022-23, but 23-24 and forward, I do not see. Well, there are actually. I'm sorry, it's the blue color, 21 to 24, 25. Beyond those years, are we as an agency are expecting to be also paying more for PFAS treatment?
Well, we'll definitely have producer O&M costs going forward for many years.
Okay.
for the operations maintenance of those facilities and the treatment of the PFAS.
Right. In terms of projections, I'm just trying to take a look at the future here and see what the vision is. Are we spending more or we're spending less? Based on the graph here, it looks like we're spending less on the PFAS.
Next year will be a very big year, the largest. And that's for treatment of 58 wells. Some are in various stages. Some we've completed, like Yorba Linda. And then we have other that are yet to happen, and they're in various stages. But there may be more wells coming. I don't know.
I can add to that. President or Director Sheldon has asked this question also, and we promised him a workshop in May as to what do we expect for future PFAS expenditures going forward, knowing that in a couple of years, we are going to have an MCL set for the PFAS chemicals, and we'll come out with some estimates as to what we think, how many wells could be impacted in the future, and what sort of cost we could have if we continue building treatment systems for the producers. So we'll have a lot better information.
Yeah, because this is this topic, it's a big ticket item, and it's going to impact our budget tremendously.
Yeah.
All right, we'll wait till May. Okay. second quick question. The debt service, which is the next slide, I believe, the debt service at 44.4, how are we, is this within, if you can give us a little more background on the debt service and the interest rates on this, is this within normal range of 6% or we're below that or beyond that?
Most of our debt is fixed rate debt. We have a lot of state revolving fund loans, very low, from 1% to 2% is very low rate debt. We also have WIFIA loans that we're borrowing on, very low. Groundwater replenishment system, that is a very low rate. It's 1.06%. The WIFIA loan for the PFAS treatment facilities projects, that's a very low rate loan. It's 1.4%, 1.86%. So we have very low fixed rate debt. Our bonds, we've been refunding and refinancing since the rates have been dropping for the last 10 to 15 years. So our rates are very low, and we do have some variable rate debt. We have about, I think it's about 860 to 870 million of debt outstanding. Of that, about 130 million of it is variable rate debt. And that resets on a weekly basis. It's been ranging anywheres from like 1.5% to 2.5% lately. So it's been spiking a lot, but it's still within our budget.
Right. I guess what I'm trying to get at is, and this is the big picture question, is to ensure that we are not overburdened with the debt and also with the variables. So I just wanted to make sure that you're comfortable with the rates and reporting back to us that going forward, that there won't be any catastrophic or any issues that would throw us off balance in terms of the finance based on what the debt service and the amount is right now.
Yeah, I think for now we're good. I don't think we want to issue more debt, which is why we want to continue to increase the RA to collect funds to pay for these particular capital projects as opposed to issuing more debt.
Okay, thank you. Next is Director Whitaker.
I didn't punch.
Oh, okay.
I did.
Well, Director Rowe, we'll go with Director Rowe.
Okay, thank you. Director Tran, I also would say that we're in pretty good shape because we have a good AAA credit rating, which allows us to have excellent interest rates on loans that we may have. So looking forward to maintaining that support. And I think we have enough a buffer so that we don't have to worry about disaster happening here. We have a groundwater basin, 66 million acre feet, which is our bank, a resource that everybody's depending upon us to manage properly. I have a question, Randy. I'm just a little thrown by the R&R replacement program. The transfer in, where is it transferring in? And it doesn't match the 15 million, 25 versus 15 million. Could you explain that, please?
Yes. So we'll be collecting $25 million from the RA revenue in 23-24. So that'll go into the reserve. So that's both for current year expenditures and future expenditures. So out of that, we're planning to spend, out of the reserve, we're planning to spend $15.5 million on various projects next year. So it also not only pays for next year, but puts money away for the future.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, any other questions? All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Fick, for that presentation. Up next would be item number 5, which is the PFAS update.
Yeah, Chris Olson will give the board a quick update here.
Good evening, Vice Chair, members of the board. I don't know how quick it's going to be. I actually added some slides tonight. So, but you know me, I will go through it relatively quickly. Let me get started here. One thing I've done a little bit different, I made an addition on, not to this slide, but in relation to this slide. So we currently have 9 in design, 28 in construction, 21 in operations, of those 58 that Randy was just talking about. So I've color coded these on the maps that show the well sites for the individual producers that I'm going to talk about. So yellow is design, orange construction, blue is operation. So we're starting off at Garden Grove, and previously I've talked about how wells 21 and 30 have been in operation. 29 is going in operation this week. So if it's not start, if it hasn't been started today, it's going to be tomorrow or Friday. So that's part of the original project of the 5 wells, 4 sites. The other 2 wells are at the Lamson Reservoir, as you see in the orange, 23 and 28. And maybe a little couple pictures of that. Just working on some of the miscellaneous remaining pipeline work and lighting and installation over there and getting it tested out. This reservoir site should be operational end March, early April. So that's a big win. It's been a little while. We've had some delays that we've talked about in the past. And then we'll get Garden Grove up and running at their lamps. And just going back to this slide, number 19 is a well that's been on our list. It just hasn't been approached recently because they had some work to do on that well. And now we're going to be starting up the design for well 19. At East Orange County, they have the 2 wells in construction. The vessels have been installed, the pre-filters, as you see in the picture on the left, that picture shows a preparation for a foundation pad for a backup generator. On the right, there's some on-site piping. So there's a little bit of cleanup work that's being done, miscellaneous pipe work, and we're expecting to be online and operational in 3 months at East Orange County Water District. For IRWD's OPA 1 well, also in construction, they are still working on the concrete for the recessed walls in the pit. This picture shows you a really good layout as to why we had to recess it, similar to Serrano. You can see the house is right next door. So just finishing up the remaining formwork and concrete pours to get the recessed concrete pit completed, and then we'll start bringing in the vessels and piping and other materials. This one's looking at summer of this year for operational. Now we're getting into Anaheim, and Anaheim is the reason why we took the big jump in construction, because they have both phase A and phase B in construction now. This is the phase A. There's the 5 wells around Anaheim Lake called the Linda Vista site. There's the Boysen Park Energy Field and La Palma. And La Palma is the first Anaheim site to be operational. They're also expecting to be, if not today, it will be online and operational this week. So here's how that La Palma site looks like right now. The media has been installed and they're just going through the flushing process and to get that thing operational and running into distribution. One other shot at the Linda Vista site. This is that large one for the 5 wells. The above ground piping and valves are being installed, working on the raw and treated water main lines. They're going to perform the hydrostatic testing. So just a lot going on at the Linda Vista site, but they are looking at operational in April or May of this year. One more shot of phase A is the Boysen Park. That is the picture you see here. They've done their over excavation. They're getting ready to have the foundation poured for the vessels. And this one's going to be online summer. I don't have a picture of Energy Field. Nothing's been really going on there, but also planning on being online in the summer of this year. And then as we look at their phase B, where previously all these were in design, they're at the point now where all these are in construction. So it includes the Brookhurst, Willow Park, Downtown, Catella, and Santa Cruz, which has 2 wells at the one site. This is a picture related to the Santa Cruz site. They have the two wells, and then they have to construct a new conveyance line that actually jack and bores under the freeway to get into distribution. So here's a picture of that jacking pit where they're starting to jack and bore the pipeline. And then the other picture I have is the Catella site, where they just removed the asphalt and getting ready to prep for the foundation of the vessels at the Catella site. And the other three, downtown, Brookhurst, Willow Park, all at the point where they're just doing some site preparation work, clearing out any vegetation or trees that needed to be. And then it'll be looking like this real soon for those other sites. So that's Anaheim. Golden State Water Company, we have the two sites, Bradford Well 4 site and the Fairhaven 1 and 3. This is the Bradford 4. Vessels installed. Hard to tell, but there's process piping being installed, drain work being done. This one's going to be likely online May this year. Here's the Fairhaven site. They've got the rebar being installed. They're ready for concrete pours for the foundations for the vessels at this Fairhaven site. Also planning May. They're trying to link them both up to be operational around the same time. This is the Fullerton main plant, where we are doing one plant for the wells 3A and 7A. Previously, I showed some pictures of drain line installation. That's the green line that the guy is standing on. There's some storm drain work going on site. Got the manhole going in over there. There's a lot of activity going on over there if you happen to drive by. This picture shows the rebar installation for the backwash tank foundation. And that's something you haven't heard me say before, because this is the only site where we have granular activated carbon as the treatment, which requires a backwash tank. And that's just because there's so much volume that happens during a backwash. It needs to go into a tank so it can slowly be released into the discharge point instead of overwhelming a storm drain or sewer, whatever the case may be. So a lot going on here. This plans on being operational end of this year, December timeframe. At Tustin, where we have the four wells under construction, this is where we're having the centralized treatment plant and the pipeline that conveys it to their main plant site. We have mobilized, so the contractors out there getting things set up at the shop at the main plant site. So probably next month, we'll have some demolition pictures to show you for Tustin. And then at Orange, we have a mixture here. We have the blue that for 9/19/23 and 24, that represents the phase one that we did for the four wells that are operational now. We have a project that is currently out to bid right now. That's bids are due in the beginning of April, and that is for wells 20, 21, and 22. Well 28 and 29 are actually city projects. 28 is one that they're going to be having their contractor who's well equipping provide the PFAS treatment, and we're going to reimburse. Similar for 29, but they haven't drilled this well yet. So this is a future upcoming well that's considered to be in the design phase. And then I have Santa Ana. You have Santa Ana 40 there in orange. The site's pretty much done. We're doing a modification right now to some of the piping to put a spool in so that we can run off the existing well pump pressure instead of having a booster. There was electrical components that were delayed, and they're still delayed. So, but by doing what we are going to do, they'll be able to run, not at the maximum flow rate that they want, but they will be able to run, which is important to them. That well 40 site, probably within 3 to 4 weeks, they should be operational there. And then I have the other three, 27, 28, and 31, that are still in the design phase. And that is the update, and I can take any questions.
Director Rowe.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for the presentation. You said that you have GAC at what facility?
That's the Fullerton main plant.
Congratulations on getting Fullerton to use GAC.
Well, they had a lot of area available for those large vessels, so okay. They were
and
able to do that.
Nobody else is doing GAC right now. It's just ion exchange.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Director Mesqua.
Thank you for the presentation.
Oh, click it one more time.
How about there?
Yep.
Thank you for the presentation. Can you go back to the Santa Ana slide? Of course, I'm going to ask about Santa Ana. You said a statement, and I don't want to misquote you, that it's not going to run at the level you want it to. Can you discuss that a little bit?
Right. So as we provide treatment to these wells, because there's a differential pressure that comes with the operation of it. So when you're running your pump, if it's a constant drive well pump motor, it runs at one speed. And then when you have a pressure drop, you're actually getting less flow from that. So a lot of these facilities, we're incorporating booster pump systems to get that pressure up so they have the same flow that they had prior to having PFAS treatment. So it's going to eventually have it. It's just that right now to get them operational, they want to just direct us, hey, please move forward. We want to get it running. We'll take the flow that we can get, which is going to be about somewhere around 75 to 80% of what they could do when the booster pumps are there.
And there will not be a problem with that?
No.
Perfect. Great. Thank you.
Great. Does anyone online have a question?
No hands raised.
Fantastic. Okay. I see no more questions here in the boardroom. And I don't have any questions at this time. So thank you very much for the presentation. Sure. That'll lead to item number six, which is committee conference and meetings reports. Are there any reports from any directors about any meetings that were attended at district expense at which a quorum of the board was present? I see no reports. That leads us to verbal reports. The president's report, I'm not the president. I'm just pinch hitting tonight for President Green, and she's representing us at the Aqua Conference in Washington, D.C. this evening. Is there a general manager's report?
Yeah, the general manager is at that same conference in Washington, D.C. But I did want to give a quick update on what's happening with Prado Dam and all the water we've been getting. If you look in the river right now, there's a decent amount of water flowing down the river going out to the ocean. The flow rate is about 3,500 cubic feet per second, which is about 7,000 acre feet a day of water getting past this going out to the ocean. So what is happening is the Corps has a lot of water behind Prado Dam. And when the elevation behind Prado Dam is above elevation 505, the Corps releases the water very quickly. And in a couple of days, we expect the elevation to get down to elevation 505. And then at that point, the Corps will go into a mode of helping us recharge the water. And the Corps will decrease the release rate from Prado down to maybe around 350 CFS. And at 350 CFS, that's a rate that we can capture with our facilities in Anaheim. So, but until we get down to elevation 505 at the dam, you're going to see a lot of water going out to the ocean. It's unfortunate, but it's at 3,500 CFS overwhelms our facilities. Our rubber dams have to go down. We just kind of get out of the way when there's that much water coming down the river. But in a couple of days, hopefully things will change, and the Corps will only release approximately 350 CFS. And again, we can capture that then with our facilities. So I just wanted to give you the latest update on what's happening.
Yeah. Thank you. Are there any director's reports? Mr. Whitaker.
Yes, there wasn't a quorum present, but I did attend the Urban Water Institute conference in Palm Springs last week. It was a very good conference, great discussions. It was also the coldest stay I've ever had in Palm Springs. But I just wanted to report that. Thank you.
Well, great. Thank you for that. Is there a general counsel report?
Good evening, directors. Only report is to say that we've made it through our first post AB 361 meeting with not too many glitches, and congrats to all on that. And we have three closed sessions, one for a conference with legal counsel for anticipated litigation to consider potential initiation of litigation pursuant to government code section 54956.9. Also have a conference with labor negotiators as indicated on the agenda. And we have a conference with real property negotiators pursuant to government code section 54956.8. Again, as indicated on the agenda. And with that, Mr. Vice President, I recommend we recess to closed session.
Okay, let's recess into closed session. Thank you very much.